All right, class, I want to go to deeper places tonight. Dr. Faub from Columbus one time said something to me that I thought was very important. He had a book he didn't want to mess with. He said he didn't want to mess with it until I endorsed it, until I looked it over. He didn't just want the information. He wanted to make sure that he had handled it properly. So there are some books in my library. Sometimes the Lord had me to pick up. I've had them and didn't know why I had them. You may be seated. Such things as information. I want you to write that down. Information, instruction, illustrations, information, instruction, illustration. You really think you're preaching now? Information, instruction, illustration, even illumination. And then we go farther with these words called, but then you have the word inspiration. That's a very important word. But then you have insight, and I'm headed somewhere with this now. Insight. You have impact, and then you have impartation that most of you never get to. But the major one, I think, that we have suffered from is a lack of identity. A lack of identity, and the identity comes from two great men in the world. Moses come to instruction of the identity of God as being I am. Now, a lot of times God had me tapping in on things. I don't really know what I'm doing. And he had me to get this book out. I'm going to read some things from this book. But I've been tapping, diving into that I am identity. And it's one of the fullest manifestation of the identity, the image, and the presence of God. And unless ministers, we as ministers, come to grip with the I am presence of God, we will run short in the value of our calling. Yes, sir. You listen to me? So a lot of things we've been going through has been religion, tradition, without a profound relationship. Okay? Now, nothing to cry about, it's just something to do something about. Okay? We've been left behind because of the ignoring of divine order, or not knowing the power, not knowing the preeminence of divine order in the Ephesians 4 setting we're dealing with. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. There's a whole lot more, but I think this is the crux of the whole matter. Just for instance, my daughter and I, she was preparing to minister to the youth. She did a tremendous job. I listened to the message today. But just for instant, as the Holy Spirit bring it back to my remembers, we're only aware of one consciousness. And I think that consciousness is out of place. So let me give you those three consciousnesses she talked about. We talked about spiritual consciousness. That's the consciousness of God. And then secondly, there's a self-consciousness. That's your soul. You notice I say that's your soul.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, you're in plenty of trouble if you don't understand what I say just now. And then there are sense consciousness. That's your physical body.
Yes, sir.
And so what happened your soul self-consciousness and your outer man consciousness get together and run things wrong. Yes, sir. Now, your innermost being is your spirit. Your inner man on the inside, but he's not your innermost being. Yes. And then you have the outer man. I just thought I'd share that with you. She shared that with the youth. I thought it was so powerful for them to have that insight. Now, this identity that we need to have properly, for sure the leaders who lead people should have this identity straight. So I'm going to read some things tonight and elaborate on them as the Spirit tells me. First, I want you to put in your note or turn to Acts 2:39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And as I began talking, I was talking about Moses in the third chapter of Exodus when he had to go to Pharaoh. He wanted to know, who should I tell him send me? Yes, and the Lord identified himself as I am. Yes. Yeah, I am cover the past, present, and future. Yes, all right? It's a eternity scope identity. Once you understand I am, you start living in eternity right now. Yes, sir. Now, you know, we've been taught about eternity in the future. And everything put off when I get out of this mess. No, it's not really a mess. It's just you a mess. And you haven't understood how to handle the mess from your real identity. And that's what ministers have to know, how to deal with the thing. Now, Paul also dealt with this in 1 Corinthians 15, I think, verses 9 and 10. He dealt with this I am identity, which is a grace identity, which is an identity that supersedes all other identities. I want to go ahead of myself, but I want you to hear this. It's going to hurt. But God is not our slot machine. And to some degree, in studying that, I think the church have come to the point they're pulling a lot of levers, but it's all for them. And so the vision and the calling on our lives are not being fulfilled because we're always trying to get something fulfilled in our lives. Yes. Now, there's a place you can come that you don't need to ask God for nothing. Yes. He just starts supplying everything you think you want. He starts supplying. Ephesians 3:20 is real. But it takes time. It takes effort. My wife and my oldest son were talking the other day, and they said, my son and they said, they don't have no idea what daddy been through to get where he is. You see, they're trying to get where I am, and you don't do that. You see, you get his worker status, and then you build your house. But they've been building their house trying to get the worker status. And the house so much doggone burden, the worker can't get a status. All right, I'll leave that alone. All right. This scripture here in Acts 2:39, it said, truly, this is a promise to generations. The purposes of God must transcend the limits of every generational group in order to produce a future of strong believers in Christ. We must transfer everything that we know about God to our spiritual sons and daughters. Let me read a little bit. Let me touch three words that we teaching, tradition, and the presence of I am. We have to move from just teaching and tradition to the presence of I am. So important. Because what we would call a good church service might not be nothing too much but an emotional move if it does not have no effect on you after you leave. Yes, sir. Okay. So let this just let me. I got an outline here, but I want to read this. But it's important. It is important to us and to our posterity to know exactly what we must hand down to those who follow us. We must be very deliberate and particular about this activity. Now listen to this state. The sample transfer of traditions and teaching will not be enough to survive the ever-shifting technologies of time and life. So just a good teacher is not good enough, you know. And tradition cannot handle. Tradition can't handle internet. Mm-hmm. Instagram. What's the other thing called it? Facebook, another one. Something about chap. Snapchat. It's on there for a minute and then it's gone. That's a spiritual competition there. And if we don't have the real deal, internet gonna win. But we must not permit internet to whip the inner man. And the inner man will be whooped if you don't know how to get your inner man connected to your innermost being,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Which is your spirit. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
All right, let me read a little more now. The sample transfer of traditions and teaching will not be enough to survive this ever-shifting technologies of time and life. Are we to simply hand down the story of Jesus Christ and the teaching that our churches have given us over the years? Or are we responsible for a much greater dimension of impartation? You heard what he said? Are we responsible for a much greater dimension of impartation to the spiritual sons and daughters that God give us?
Yes, sir.
What can we as believers give to others that we will radically change their life? As spiritual leaders, what can we pass on to our spiritual sons and daughters that would enhance the DNA of their destiny and give them the opportunity to powerfully accomplish the purposes of God? And the answer to that is, God, give my present to this coming generation. Not just teaching, not just outline, not just a song. Moses needed God's present, because Pharaoh would have wiped him out if he just had a message. If he just had a revelation of who God is, but he had God's present. And by having God present, God gave Moses his present. And somewhere along the line, the church, because of a lack of understanding, have really lost the real presence of God.
Yes, sir.
I didn't say feeling.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Present. All right. Now, let me read this to you. Now we have very powerful services with the manifested presence of God each week. He said, but this one was something different. In that service, there was a tremendous spirit of revelation that came into the play. There was a sense of something new and powerful happening on that day. That wave of power was accompanied by the voice of God himself. And God said to me, give my presence to the coming generation. It was obvious that this was no common prophetic word. I sense a more far-reaching purpose that transcends the time and place where we were assembled. As the service continued, there was great manifestation of him in the heart of the people there. We all sensed the presence of the Lord in a greater way than ever before. And that's what we're going, that's what we're aiming at. We are not only commissioned to take the gospel of Christ and the kingdom of God to the nation, but we are to deliver God's presence that will shift the position of believers and literally redefine their identities as kingdom citizens. Exodus 3, 13, verses 14 and 15, 13 to 14, and then verse 15. We have a Moses mandate. And like the prophet Moses, we are to deliver I am to the present generation and to the generation I come. The generation to come. Present. The present of God. Not the presentation of God. Not the personality of God. His presence. Now his presence will fall in his room tonight while I'm just talking. His presence, you should experience his presence. Once you experience his presence, it's all over then. Yeah. For instance, in my spirit, those things that are postponed in your life, when you start experiencing his presence, postponements are over. Because all the promises of God are yea and amen, and he already has provided those things for us. But you see, because of religious experience and formalities and not hungering and subpoenaing the presence of God. Let me say it this way. Stuff have gotten in the way of the subject. Or stuff has gotten in the way of the substance of God. Now, I've come down a trail for this generation. I've come down a trail, and I think I hit every hole in the road, every one of them. I mean, I had mud everywhere. And so when I begin to talk, I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about my insufficiency. And I'm talking about I am what I am because of the grace of God. But it also saying anybody can go there who won't go there. See, it's not... The thing you have to go through is not brain appealing. It's not about brain. See, it's not, you hear me talk about, it's not about so much breakthrough. It's birthright. Say birthright. Yeah, see, that's so important for you to understand that. But birthright is invalidated if you don't have a personal awareness of your Father. His presence, yes, sir. Not a feeling, not an emotion, yes, his presence. Might not feel nothing, might not have no emotion, but you just know he's there. Yes. Yes. And so he said, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your father sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? And so it seemed like we're making a presentation, but we're not giving his name. And so therefore, those who leave to go to that various home or various occupation, they don't have what it takes. They're quoting scriptures. But he says, search the scripture. For in you, in them you think you have life, but they testify of me. I am. I'm not trying to become nothing. See, God present is void of all because. He don't need no because. He is because. And we've been broken down to a level over centuries that not knowing by carrying his presence, everything else must manifest. When he began to see and supply what you need before you get a chance to pray about it. Now you say, it's real. It's a real place. It's a real place. See, and then many have got scriptures and got real deep, and they quote scriptures, but yet their life is their life is just, let me make up a word, scripturalized. His presence. Be still and know I'm God. Stop rattling. Be still. Let me give you a real word. Let me impart something to you before you start talking. I'll say as an apostle of Jesus Christ in this generation, we way, way, way behind. I didn't say you didn't love God. I love God. I didn't say we love God. But there's so much more God want to do through us. To us. And then for us. But we have set up a for us God. And he want to be a through us God. You see what I'm saying? And nobody had to twist your arm. You just, I'm ready to go. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm ready to go. And that's for every person under my voice. He has that for you. And if that thirst and that hunger is there, you're going to have his presence. Best of the day will do hunger and thirst. After righteousness, what do you say they do? They shall be filled. See. Are you seeing me? So what I'm aiming to show us through the grace of God divine order. But let me take you somewhere over here. Power is not the greatest strength of God. T-R-U-T-H is the greatest strength of God. So when we were seeking power, we should have been seeking truth. Because the scripture never said power sets you free. So it's not power on power with satanic forces. That's over. That's Colossians 2:14. He made a show of them openly. So it's not trying to put some power against power. No, the thing that defeats Satan is truth. He's the father of a lie. See, this is apostolic. He's deceptive, but he's not more powerful than you. But if you're not operating in the truth, then it seems like he's more powerful than you. So it's not so much you need more power. You got the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost to reveal to you more truth. So the chronological step seemed like elementary school, but Jesus said in John 14:6, just the other day, God told me, said there's three stages. Yes, sir. See, I show you the way, then I show you the truth. Third stage, you get to the life. So when Paul came on Moor Hill, they had a sign up there to the unknown God. You know what scripture Paul ended with? In him we live and move and have our being. I know him. Paul said, I know him. And so with that living and moving and having our being in the revelation of our identity, our I am-ness, our image, functioning in the presence of God, with God present, not just his permission. Not just his promises, yes. But his presence. Yes. See, his presence is the validation of the supernatural.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Scriptures, good sermon, are invalidated by the enemy when God present is not there. So each one of us as an apostolic believer should always be carriers of his presence.
Yes, sir.
I didn't say feeling.
No, sir.
I didn't say emotion.
No, sir.
See, present, oh my goodness. When you recognize that you're a carrier of God's presence, there's anointing with you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You just know. You don't have to feel nothing. You understand? Nobody got to clap your hand. Nobody got to say amen.
Yes,
it's just anointing that I'm a carrier of God's presence. And so God is I am.
Yes,
so I can handle the past, present, and the future. You're right here right now.
Yes, sir.
And I don't have to do it in my own strength.
Yes, sir.
Right. See, when you carry God's presence, you listening?
Yes, sir.
You don't have to prove nothing. You don't have to pass the crowd test. Write this down. God's presence carry all of his privileges.
Yes, sir.
So to make it have a greater impact on your life, you're going to have to move from the promises to his presence.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You got to move from the power to his presence.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to move from prayer to his presence.
Yes,
no beggar will get God's presence. His presence is too expensive for a beggar. Because they don't know it belonged to him. Basically. In the church, we become a bunch of beggars. When the table have a seat for you, already prepared for you. Actually, here's one thing you can pick up here. Actually, we've been taught to tarry long. When you need the presence, you don't have to do that.
Yes, sir.
That's why I immediately, straightway, and suddenly have not been in our midst, because we are taught to tarry and wait. Another thing the Spirit of God is saying, we're taught to ask. We haven't been taught to take. Kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Violence, take it by force.
Yes,
that's the things when you know something belongs to you, you don't go, can I have a piece of this? Can I? No, just take it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's like me of my house asking for something. Can I have this? What do you mean, can I have this? All right. Let me read this again. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your father has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Now that's very important. I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. The Lord God of your father, the God of Abraham, three generations, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. I was the I am God in all three of them generations. This is my name forever. Woo! And this is my memorial until they get in the 1900s or something like that. And not no longer for us.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
See. So now, So now, these make-believe organizations that think they're so big, they are I am blockers. Because they say that I am. And so to locate my identity, I had to get out 5 or 6 circles. The Holy Spirit say you're being smothered. You're under somebody who need to be under you. Get up out of here. Get up out of here. I say, yes, sir. Goodbye. And until today, they still don't know what hit them. How could I walk? You know, man, he would be crazy. You don't know who I am? Not one, not two, not three, not four. But I was smothered. And my gift wasn't, we wouldn't be here tonight. So it said, clearly Moses had a powerful experience with God. God described his name to Moses as I am. Say I am. All right. The name I am is the past, present, and future expression of God's identity and infinity. Look up that word infinity. What that word mean? I know what it means, but I can't express it. Identity and infinity. I know it. Come on, y'all, talk to Sarah. What her name? Sarah. Oh, y'all done talked to her before. We use these instruments. Let's use them for the glory of God. Yeah. Didn't put your picture on there and telling everybody your business. How you like this lipstick? You're my boyfriend. Now your boyfriend gone. What happened to him? I wonder. Somebody sewing. You keep your secret, baby. Don't let nobody know what you're working with. You think everybody fool you out there on that thing? Ooh, you better get on. You better get back in the house. What you got it? Infinity?
Yes, sir.
What do you mean?
The state or quality of being infinite.
Unlimited extent of time, space, or quantity. Boundless.
Unlimited
extent of time, space, or quantity.
Yeah, you had it right. It's unlimited. You see. Identity and unlimited. That's powerful, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
See, once we understand our I am connection, our I am image, our I am identity, we become unlimited. Yes, it represents the ever presence of God. This is such a powerful realization of God that it literally infuses eternity into the heart of the people and give them a sense of awareness of the plans and purposes of God in ways that they have never known. Not tradition, not just teaching. We're proud of our teaching, our outline, you know, and our little parables, we're proud of that. But if you don't bring us to the presence of God, what good is it doing? Is people waiting from Sunday to Sunday to experience God? Some of my greatest hallelujah moments is not at the church building. It's not in a crowd. It's me and God shouting around. You must get to the point, you spend some time with God and tell him, I don't want nothing. I just want you. And he's saying, who said that? You just want me. You can't have me without having everything. Don't go after the everything. Go after him.
Yes, sir.
This is how Moses ended up writing the book of Genesis, a book that depicts event which occurred before Moses' birth. This level of exposure to God causes people to experience the eternity, which bridges the gap between the past, present, and future. We'll see God in his full state of glory, and we'll understand how he managed to bring such supernatural event to pass in our life. It will give us a mighty faith that sees only the finished work of God. Now, Paul give us in the New Testament, then 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10.
Yes, sir.
Put that on the board back there. Who I got back there? 1 Corinthians 15, 9. So I want to be turning to it in the scripture. Just keep rolling. Mm-hmm. Even the great apostle Paul recognized the power of the I am of God.
Yes,
he said, Paul said, "For I'm the least of the apostles." See that?
Yes, sir.
That am. Now listen. Look what he said. Now, "For I am."
Aye,
all right. "The least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Now, when your amness does not exist anymore, and you take up the whole rank of God amness, you talking about an anointing. You talking about an awareness. You talking about a person being alert. When that person is totally out the picture. Jesus did not try to hold on to his family identity.
Yes, sir. Come on, Pop, sir.
Yes, sir.
When they came out there, he had that meeting going on. They won't have a family meeting. Jesus said, "My family up in here. Come on up in here."
Yes, sir.
I had to go through the same thing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Still walk in love, but I mean, yes, sir. I mean, just, you know, we just don't go the same route. So he said, "For I'm the least among the apostles. I'm not meant to be called an apostle because I'm persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." You know what he's saying? By the power of the cross, I am what I am. The cross is the manufacture station of grace. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, you see what he said there? Huh? "I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Look what he said in Galatians 6:14.
Yes.
He said, "I'm crucified to the world, and the world crucified me, and God forbid me to glory in anything else save the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ."
Yes, sir.
So the cross and the I am are two major features in your apostolic anointing awareness.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "And this grace was thrown on me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than you all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me." Now, in the I amness of God, as the apostolic to bring the church back to the I amness of God, or I am, you must have a major visitation of "yet not I."
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Come on,
Pastor. Galatians 2:20, you got it?
Yes, sir.
You have it in this verse right here. Mm-hmm. There's one more talking about "yet not I" in Corinthians. Paul recognized there was an identity working in him to accomplish what he naturally could not have accomplished. Even his change of heart toward those who worship Christ was in itself a miracle. He recognized this grace as the power of God himself and the driving force behind the new life that he now lived. This is what empowered the man who also said, "I've finished my course and I've kept the faith."
Yes.
Let me read a little bit about presence and personality. Presence and personality. In the time in which we live, God had become a novelty of sort among those who feel that it is popular to be a Christian or to recognize the existence of some higher power in their life. Unfortunately, this popularity accomplishes no long-term result for the individual or for the kingdom of God because of its lack of true substance in regard to what God actually desires for the human race. What? Puffed up. I know the Lord. I've been on a highway for 43 years. Ain't tired running yet. That ain't helping nobody. What you been running from anyway? I'm going to say it another way. Stand pregnant with God's presence is what ministers have to do. Yes, sir. If ministry going to produce result, you have to continuously carry a pregnancy. We have to stop aborting God's presence with our idea. Because if Satan ever can get us deceived to believe God's presence is based on a feeling, he got you. Listen, class, God is not satisfied with simply being acknowledged in terms of his existence, nor is he satisfied with those who feel that they know him in terms of their confessions. God desired more, much more, and he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to bring about a greater result than the ones which are seen throughout this world. So the confession and acknowledgement, they are good in their place, but they're not the nitty-gritty. So here it's easy to develop a system that mimics the activity of temple worship and give the appearance of a real divine connection. What? The appearance. However, when most people who serve in these type of environment are finished with their devotional periods, they are still empty and unfulfilled. The popularity of Jesus' personality is overwhelming, but his presence is astoundingly absent from the lives of so many people and in so many churches. They know his personality. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Man, we got an assignment. You know that? Yes, sir. Now we have with the advent of the user-friendly churches and the relaxed atmosphere, there have become a casual resistance to the need for a deeper and more spiritual thing.
Yes, sir.
See? Yes, sir. See? Those churches are deceived. Yeah. I don't try to present no relaxed atmosphere up in here. Shoot, man. We need some help up in here, man. I need some conviction, man. I need conviction, me. Keep me on. I don't want to. You mean don't make it? Don't serve me no coffee. I need Jesus, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So let's take this on. I'm about through. Let's take this on. We must be mindful of the word was spoken by Jesus in John 4:24. Go there. John 4. We must be mindful. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Therefore, it is needful to pursue the spiritual side of things, since our God is a spirit. Right? We are empowered to do all that we do because of him. His presence is the matrix for everything that is done in the kingdom of God, and we dare not diminish it. Boy, we're finna hit one of your favorites now. Something about to happen. Man, these people come up with these ideas, and it seems so deep in the spirit, man. We get all happy. And one of them about to be cut right now. Yes, sir. Everywhere, people are asking, what would Jesus do? That's a popular slogan today. And nothing wrong with it. It seemed to give people a sense of awareness of Jesus' personality and character when they're about to make a decision. But as popular as it isn't the presence of God. And it doesn't provide the true sense of guidance and empowerment that we receive directly from a close covenant relationship with him. So the what would Jesus do slogan cannot become a substitute for the presence of God. You act, what would Jesus do? You sling some little wild scriptures you got that have not been endorsed by God for you to use at that time. Why I keep getting whipped? I'm using the scripture. What would Jesus do now? Jesus said he didn't do nothing unless he saw the Father do. Did you see anything? Uh-oh. You heard that? Jesus was not moving by situation. He was moving by revelation. Jesus didn't have no pat scripture he put with this. We need a rhema. We need a live John 6:63 word spoken to us to deal with situation. Because if you spoke the word on something and keep worrying about it, God didn't tell you to use that word. You with me, Clarence? So you going to preach, going out here as high priest, you're going to take it to another vein. If you're going out under the apostolic setting that is over this school, notice that we don't teach how to make a sermon here. Amen. You can't teach no sermon. At the Baptist convention, they used to buy the outline. You can't do that. Yeah, that's right. My spirit of the Father, I preach his books. Our Father Fred Price, I'd put his book in a little thing and preach it. Like it's mine. Better believe I preached it. Acts 17:23-28 give us a description of where. Now they won't admit it, and they will argue, but to a large degree, what it was, 2 out of 12, to a large 12 spies, right? Now, yeah, 10 of them saw themselves as grasshoppers in the eye of other people. How you know how another person looking at you? No, they had a mirror of insufficiency in their pocket. And that's a lot of time. A person walking to church, they know if that church is not in tune, they know I'm going to sit and go through this, but I can't get my answer here. And I mean, amazing song. Amazing teaching, but something missing. Yeah. Yes, sir. I'm going to say it this way. This way it's coming to me. Outlines can't change Satan crimes. You understand what I'm saying? Satan crime. Yes, telling you what you can't have, what you can't do and who you can't be. He's lying to you. But our lies won't stop him. When he approach you, he must recognize that he approaching God. I'll give you an example. And we all got to raise up in it. But you should have joy no matter what's happening. Because every situation and every circumstance in your life is only a building block. You can't curse. So when the cursor comes, it only make the blessing greater. So there's no time to be crying now, calling everybody you know. Be still and know I'm God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. Now let me find a closing place here. If we do not know God as I am, our devotion is guessing. Because he might come through and he might not. But when you know it, he's the I am, he already through. So in this text, I don't have time to read it. In this text, it says there's no greater statement that addresses the reality of God's identity than the word was spoken by Paul. Acts 17:23-28. He gave an expert testimony against the misidentification of the true and living God, and through his own passion and experience made it plain that God is more than a figure of a deity. He is the creator of all things and is the life source of every living thing that exists. These people give God a personality by creating idols and inscriptions that simply address his existence without ascribing any true supernatural aspect to him, nor requiring a true relationship with him. One of the reasons that the apostolic is to locate men and women who know the truth and live in God and to have them begin to raise up offspring who know him as well. They will not hand down the religious tradition of an unknown God, one who exists only as a figure of fleshly devotions and who serve only to satisfy mankind obligation to appeal spiritual. Here's what we have, class. Here's what I'm going to leave you with. I'm going to have my girl do some more outlining on this book. The Lord told me to pull it out. I'm not going to tell you what it is. No. You're going to get in trouble in here. See, because you'll run ahead in your usual ability to read and outline, and you get in a traffic jam, and you'll never be able to comprehend the real value of the insight, the impartation, and the real I am identity. Now, you say, well, I know the Lord. Yes. Ranks. And so at the end of the class, I mean, how long is this semester? Well, I don't know what it is. I don't even know what month. What year is it? See, I wrote 2020 the other day on something. I know the month in March. Huh? What month is this? This the last class? April 8th, the last class?
Yes, sir.
What do you mean last class? Somebody graduate? I mean, what, is got someone going to graduate?
May 2nd.
Huh?
May 2nd is graduation.
May 2nd.
All right. How many more classes I got? Roughly. Four? Four classes? After tonight be three more classes. Who graduated? Who the second year class? I'm telling y'all, you see that man right there? That's a pastor right there. See that man right there? He's a pastor and his wife. You see what they're doing? Huh? They're here to get more. Y'all gonna have that opportunity. Don't be stupid. You don't want just a piece of paper. If this thing keeps going on more, you better try and get yourself back here and sit down. What? See, you graduate, aren't you? Yeah, they come all, she graduated. She come, they come all the time. You know? I don't know what the mother pastor said. They should be here.
Yes, sir.
They should be here. They don't know this.
Yes, sir.
And this has to be broken down.
Yes, sir.
With encounters, experience, and calling.
Yes,
sir.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Now, we got a slot machine God in the church. Move from religion to relationship, from relationship to restoration. All right? I'll leave you with that. We'll talk about the promise and prison of God when I come back with you. Now, this three time I'll try to hit some things that can set a fire. I know y'all trying to see this book. Let me turn it over. that's the way I was on the class. See what you got. I want what you got. All right, class. I'll see y'all next. Y'all better watch Chantel. There might be a test or something going on. But, that's a whole lot of stuff you heard tonight, you know.
Yes, sir.
And I want you to go over it, go over those scriptures, all right?
Yes, sir.
Are you trying to get to me? I'll come down. One.
Yes, glory.
I see you. I
yes,
see you.
Sir.
All right. Two, three. All right, Claire. Oh, now we know we're down at Round Church.
Yes, sir.
Thursday?
Yes, sir.
Y'all know y'all got to be there, right?
Because
I'm not much of an instructor. How many miles is from here to Ron play? About?
59.
About 50, 59? Huh?
About 60.
Hey, y'all coming?
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to put in a roll book. I'm just going to be on the honest, based on the honest system. But I'm a pretty good looker.
Yes, Lord.
My mind is sharp as a two-edged sword. So I would know. I come back in class and say, you wasn't there.
Yeah.
Don't come give me no crybaby story about the car broke. Buy you another one. Sometimes they break down for you to buy another one.